Good morning. I think you guys just sang that storm right over. That was amazing. My name is Steve Brand, and as soon as I get situated here, I'll be able to tell you what I'm here for. I've got all kinds of stuff up here. I've got a bag, got my water. Got a few CDs left. If anybody needs CDs, I've got three more sets. $30. The money goes to Africa because my wife and I take mission trips to Africa. So if that's something that you're interested in, I'd be glad to not take them back on the airplane. My name is Steve Brand, and I wanted to tell you just a little bit about why we're here. Jim and I went to a conference in Colorado, John Eldridge and Dan Allender, 55 weeks ago, and it was so good, it changed our lives. We've done the conference we did here twice in Georgia, and now here in northern New Jersey. And what I do all day as a licensed professional is I counsel people. 50 minutes, my brain works on a 50-minute hour, you know? Take a 10-minute break, check the text, check the voicemail, check the email, whatever, you know. And that's just how my rhythm is. But I am like a 39-year-old disciple. I was converted in 1977. And I was in the ministry for 8 years, was a campus minister for 7 of those years, planted the church in St. Louis where Reach was this summer, and was able to speak at the 30th reunion of the church because we started in 86 and this summer was 16. But what I do all day is I mostly help disciples get set free. And so that's what I want to do here, is I want to help you get set free. And I've got some things I want to share. If I can get them up on my computer, Jim. I'm working here. I think I got it. I think I need my glasses. Jim, I don't see it. It's all in my head.
That's not doing them any good.
Jim and I have, I think I just found it. We have a codependent relationship. I get it. Thank you.
Gotta go back to the top.
Yep. So I sit and talk to people all day. I'm never on a computer. So when I do things like this, I'm a little bit disabled, you know, a little bit scattered. I've got my little clicker here. I think I can move that thing forward. I'm going to talk about the soul. I'm going to go to Solomon on the soul. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that he has made everything beautiful in his time. He's also set eternity on the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. God has set eternity on the human heart. You have a soul, you have a heart where God has placed eternity. And the question for all of us is, how are you doing taking care of your soul? Are you taking time out? Do you take this thing and turn it off? Imagine that. Do you know that they've created these so they give us a little dopamine pop every time we get a notification? Every time we get a text, a phone call? They've created these to be addicting, in other words. Okay? Have you ever taken a Sabbath from your smartphone? Do you take a Sabbath? I'm not talking about going to church on Sunday. I'm talking about, do you take time out for your soul? What I do every day is I sit with people, mostly disciples, 50 minutes, take a 10-minute break, and I do that. I front-load my week on Monday and Tuesday. I have 11, 12, 13-hour days, but what I do for my soul is a whole different matter, okay? I have time with God. I call it connection time, all right? You know the other word? Quiet time, okay? Maybe your time should be a time of rest instead of a quiet time. I'm not talking about sleeping, but a time of resting and laying down your burdens and putting on the yoke that Jim talked about in communion. You know, the yoke that is light and easy. But when Solomon talked about the soul, he says, we've got something inside of us that's going to last forever. You can't see it. You can't measure it. But you know when it's off. You know what I mean? Like, you know when it's off. You know when something's not quite right. Definition for the soul. The soul is regarded as the moral part of us that is designed for everlasting life, an essence which differs from the body and is not dissolved by death, an essence which is different from the body and is not dissolved by death, the part of us designed for everlasting life. So even if you're visiting today, even if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Jesus, there's something inside of you that just is a little bit off. For those of us who are Christ followers, the question is, are you nourishing your soul? Are you feeding your soul? For those of us that went to the Restoration of the Heart this weekend, the goal there is to go back and heal wounds. First, to discover what they are, and you remember to write about them. You remember, when we write, we heal. So 3 pages, 8.5 by 11, and then organically just form little groups. That's how you go forward with the Restoration Heart. Little groups of trusted people that you can talk to about the wounds that you've discovered and the writing that you do. But that's a way that you take care of your soul. I want to look at what Jesus had to say about the soul. He said, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Remember, that's when he sent out his disciples and they were going out and he was telling them, yeah, you're going to encounter some resistance, some persecution, but don't be afraid of people. They can only kill the body. They cannot kill the soul. The soul can't be killed, all right? It can be dulled. It can be sick. It can be dry and weary, but it can't be killed. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for what? What part of you? Rest for your soul. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Matthew 10, 28. Cannot kill the soul. I can't see what's behind me. Okay, there it is. All right. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. How do you love God with your soul? Are you taking care of your soul? That's the question. Our soul is the part of us that connects with God. Have you ever had that feeling where you're really connected with God and then you feel disconnected? You feel that dry and weary soul in a weary land. The soul is a part of you that connects with God. I want to talk about the long game. This is the long vision for your soul. I started giving a little introduction. I want to give a little bit more. I've been a disciple 39 years. I was in the ministry for 8 years. Led campuses in South Carolina, St. Louis, Boston University, Boston College, was very effective in the ministry. And I've been doing Christian counseling for 25 years. But you know, the reason I say all that is that does not matter if I don't take care of my soul. So when I get with people and I get drained, you know how Jesus, when they touched him, he felt power go from him? And you know, when Jim and I get on the plane, we should be tired today, right? You know, because we've given Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that's okay. When I get with clients, I feel drained, but I have to take care of my soul. I have to put stuff back in. You can't just go, 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 go. You can't just give, 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 give. You've got to put stuff in. And I want to ask you about the input. What are you putting in? Jim knows this. One of the things I do, I'm a mountain lover. When he said, go to a place, your favorite place, I love the mountains. And when I go to the mountains, that's my happy place. But I go up there, and if I go alone, sometimes I take a brother. If I go alone, I work Monday through Thursday, take a Friday, and go hiking up in North Georgia up on the Appalachian Trail. And when I go up there, this is not a boast. This is just a fact. I'll go up there, and I'll pray and sing and pray and sing and meditate on Scripture for 6 or 7 hours. That's the kind of soul care I'm talking about, doing some things that really nourish your soul. You cannot protect and nurture what you don't acknowledge and notice. You've got to acknowledge that you have a soul. You've got to notice that you have a soul. Look at 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. We sang, It Is Well With My Soul. I love that song. We sang, you know, The Storm Is Past. I loved all your songs. You guys have some great singers. You guys have some great music. But look at this scripture. Is your soul getting along well? How is your soul? How are you doing? And when I say how you're doing, you know what you could do? You could give me a litany of activities. I was with a brother a couple weeks ago for lunch. And he says, how are you doing? And I said, well, we're getting ready to do Restoration Heart in New Jersey. Terrell and I, my wife, we've just done 6 couples in the past 15 months, premarital counseling, going through the book, Becoming One. I've just done 4 marriages. We've gone to Africa twice, and then I caught myself. I was just listing my activities. When somebody asks you how you're doing, they're really wanting to know, how's your soul doing? Are you taking care of your soul? I want to talk about 3 soul wounds, and then I'm going to invite Jim up, and we're going to together teach the rest of this message. I want to talk about unaddressed grudges. Talk to somebody today. You know how you go to church and you see somebody and you feel like, oh, I need to talk to that brother. You know, I need to talk to that sister. Get on with it. Matthew 18. If your brother sins against you, go show him his fault. How? Just between the two of you. Stop avoiding conflict. Deal with grudges. Bitterness is a poison that we drink to kill someone else. Bitterness is a poison that we drink to kill somebody else. So if we have a chip on our shoulder, if we're carrying a grudge, we're just hurting ourselves. And we're hurting the fellowship. Imagine if everybody in here had no unresolved conflict in this whole auditorium, this whole church. Wouldn't that be amazing? So whatever little chip you have on your shoulder, whatever little unresolved thing, deal with it today. Don't carry that burden with you. Unforgiven guilt. Now, first, you have to kind of think about the concept of sin. Do you believe that there's such a thing as sin? Do you think we have inside of us kind of a conscience that tweaks? Yeah. Now, our conscience needs to be trained by God's word, but we have a conscience that tweaks when we mess up. Even when I wasn't trying to be a disciple, when I wasn't a Christ follower, my conscience would tweak when I messed up. And that's what actually brought me back around after I kind of was out in the weeds, you know, out in the desert for about 5 years, brought me back to God was my conscience. Unload your guilt. Unload the shame. Here's something I do in my office. I'll share it with you. I point to this corner of my office. It's where the light is. And I say, over here we have the light. We have Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, forgiveness of sins, freedom, good enough. Over here, you're good enough because Jesus died on the cross. He lived a perfect life. He was raised from the dead. You're good enough. Over here is salvation, all the good stuff. Over here, guilt and shame, perfectionism, performance Christianity, the treadmill. You older folks, do you remember Astro in the Jetsons? Okay, remember how he got caught on the treadmill? Okay. Some of us are still doing the gerbil thing in the church. We're doing churchianity. We're not doing Christianity. We're not Christ following. We're just caught up in the busyness. And then you have with that a lot of guilt. And so I say over here is guilt and shame and all that stuff, and never good enough. Never good enough. And I say, what percentage of the time in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, do you spend over here knowing that Jesus died for you, the grace is there, the blood of Christ, you're good enough? And what percentage over here? Do you know what the mode is, the most frequently occurring number? 85-15. I had one brother in my office a couple months ago, 40-year-old disciple. Zero, 100%. Guilt and shame. He was a tortured soul. Perfectionism, performance Christianity. So unforgiven guilt. Access the blood of Christ. That's not just what communion is for. Jesus didn't die so you would be filled with guilt and shame and walk through your Christian life just burdened down, trudging along. He didn't shed his blood for you to be burdened with guilt. So do a soul check, do a gut check, and say, how often am I over here? The blood of Christ, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, forgiveness, freedom, good enough. The blood of Jesus makes you good enough. Third thing, unprocessed grief, loss, trauma, brokenness, wounds. Unprocessed stuff you haven't dealt with. That's why we had the restoration of the heart. And remember, organically, those of you that went to get together in little groups and not only write your story longhand, 3 pages, but share it with one another, with safe people that you can trust. So, in taking care of your soul, what do you do? What extra do you do? Have you taken a Sabbath? You know, God rested on the seventh day. Sundays, for a lot of us, are pretty hectic, but do you take a Sabbath? Do you block out time just to get recentered, to get grounded, to get back with God, and to get reconnected with God? What soul wound out of the 3 that we just covered do you have that you need to open up about today and trust Jesus with to begin the healing process? What soul wound? A grudge that you need to deal with? Okay? Guilt, shame from sin, false guilt from legalism, okay? Or healing from grief or loss or trauma or brokenness, the things we talked about this weekend. I'm going to ask Jim to come up, and we're going to continue. We're going to teach you a way forward, a very practical way to take care of your soul. So I'm going to kind of back up and come up here once in a while when Jim is talking.
Great. So that's needed, right? If our soul is that part of us that doesn't dissolve, we better pay attention to it, right? So this first slide, I don't know, always goes, not always sure that slides like this are great, but I think it's going to help us make the point. So on this slide, you see horizontally there's a strengthening of the soul, and vertically there's the restoring the soul. So what we're going to talk about is how to live both, what to do in both of these areas to really strengthen the soul. Because what we talked about this weekend was that a lot of damage is done very early in our lives when our souls haven't been strengthened. There's a lot of innocence there. There's a lot of immaturity. Things are out of our control. And things, you know, we're hurt that way. And those can resonate for all of our lives. And that's why we need to go back and really look at the healing part. But what we're going to talk about today is that your soul can be strengthened so that assaults by the enemy, the things that he used to do to make you agree with lies, or what we call agreements, they're not interesting to you anymore. The addictions, guys, pornography, drug addiction, alcohol, through recovery, you don't white knuckle it out. Those of you that are in CR, you know what I'm talking about, right? We talk about white knuckling. That is not the way God wants you to live. He does not want us to live white knuckling against sin. He wants to set us free. But it does require participation from us, right? Grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning, right? So it grace requires, works with effort to change our character. So the, let's see, great. Go back. Okay. So along the horizontal line, we talk about discipleship. Now, discipleship is kind of a tricky word for me. I don't know about you, but there was a long period of time in my life where the idea of was I being a disciple did nothing but bring shame and guilt, right? So I hesitated to use that word, but you know what? We got to take it back, right? We got to take it back to what it is. If it helps you to use the word apprenticeship better or Christ follower, that's okay. But that's what's going on the horizontal axis. So that's that's what we do as far as the effort and the things that we can do to strengthen our soul. And then when you look at the vertical to strengthen the soul that way, it's about wholeness. It's about becoming whole. So we'll talk about four sectors, and the first sector we'll talk about is where most people live. So we'll talk about sector number two. So sector one. And this is where the mass of humanity lives. A lot of people that aren't Christians. They found something that works for them. So they're progressing up on the wholeness. Maybe they're doing yoga, or maybe they're doing, you know, some heavily into exercise or some kind of therapy or something like that. But as they move up on that vertical axis, they're not able to sustain it. So in order to sustain it, you have to also be growing on the horizontal axis. On the horizontal axis. And then the next one I wanted to talk about is number two, down here, because that is where the majority of Christians live, is very, very little hope, and really a lot of Christians and a lot of the lost, a lot of people that don't know Jesus live. It's where the mass of humanity lives, very little hope, very little soul strengthening, any kind of discipleship, and very little wholeness. And then I want to talk about number four next. Let's see. I don't know if it's advancing, is it? So in sector four, I could just leave that slide up. This is where the big blow-ups happen, right? This is where people that are disciples will grind it out. And you'll see for Sector 4, you're progressing on the discipleship as far as grinding out a lot of things. Not true discipleship, but you're grinding out churchianity like Steve was talking about. But eventually, because you're not experiencing any kind of wholeness, any kind of restoration, this is where all of a sudden you look up and a guy has just disappeared. A guy's left his family, who was a pillar in the church, who was studying with people, who was doing all those things that we usually take as an indication of somebody doing well, somebody with a strong soul. But that's not the way to do it. Let's see. I think I might be missing some slides. Yeah. The techno demons are still here. So one of the things, let's see, I've got them on my here. They just didn't get transferred over. So let's just talk about some of the things that discipleship really means, right? We don't want to be locked into just quiet times. My quiet times actually now are about 15 minutes, sometimes 15 minutes in the morning. If I have more time, I can. Sometimes I'll just meditate on the 23rd Psalm or the Lord's Prayer and really just meditate on those and feel connected. Get connected to God that way. Some other things that we can do, Steve, maybe you can help me out here. Some of the other things that we've, what Steve was talking about with getting away for silence and solitude. Talk about silence and solitude a little bit.
Yeah, more. Yeah. I do a lot of silence and solitude. Sometimes we're afraid to be alone because of the monkeys that are swinging in the trees in our head. You know, that's what they call it in yoga, you know, when you try to be quiet and you've got too much noise going on in your head. But there are 7 or 8 Christian disciplines like prayer and fasting, but solitude is one of them. Meditation on Scripture is another one. And so like Jim was just talking about meditating on Psalm 23, I mean, I can remember one hike in particular where I just meditated on one Scripture for 7 hours. I got a cadence with it, you know, like the Army does when they go to boot camp, you know. And I got it going out loud for about 30 minutes. I was all by myself in the wilderness. I go to the middle of nowhere. And then I was in my head, and it was all day. And I really made a major character change from that scripture. So there's a lot you can do with silence and solitude. There's actually a monastery in southwest Atlanta on the way to South Carolina, where some disciples have gone and practiced silence for a day or 2 or 3 days. And maybe some of you have done that too. If not, that's a great thing.
Great. So just an example, for those of you that were at the Restoration of the Heart, that 15 minutes on Friday night from 7:30 to 7:45, didn't it seem like it was an hour? I mean, we just had music playing, and I want to thank Mark Persing Jr., of course, he's part of the Persing trio up here today, but Mark Persing Jr., because he did a great job with the music. It was by design, Mark's design. The songs that we did today all had to do with the soul. So he, you know, he did that, and that was awesome. But that stillness, that 15 minutes, it just seemed like eternity, right? And so, you know, one of the reasons we resist stillness like that is that first of all, we have to stop shaking because we don't realize, you know, how we're plugged in. But you can get in touch with your soul at that point. That's why solitude and silence together, especially if you were completely alone, silent and solitude, that's where you can really begin to see your place with God. And it's when we say it's a discipline, it's like exercise. It's not easy to do authentically, to sit there, right? I've got a new saying, it's don't just do something, sit there, right? when we think about beauty, that image that I got you to think about, that we don't really think of that as part of discipleship, right? But you were created to look at beauty. Some people it is nature. Some people it's other things like maybe a painting. Maybe it's, for some people, it's rain, right? Some people snow, just to stand out and feel that beauty. But that's not something we usually put in that how to be a great disciple, right? Go expose yourself to a lot of beauty. One I want to talk about, too, is exercising authority. So that has to do with prayer. And everybody that was at the workshop, you remember how we were bringing the authority of Jesus against the evil one, against the enemy, against spirits, different kinds of spirits that we may just entertain in our head. But the important thing is, Jesus said in Matthew 28, our favorite verse, all authority is given to him on heaven and earth. But did you know in Ephesians it says we sit at the right hand with God? We sit with Jesus. So we share in that kind of authority. That's why we can use his authority to run things out that are coming at us. When you get hit with something out of nowhere, that's not just you. That's not just you. You have to send it away, but use Jesus' authority for that. And have that kind of warfare prayer.
Yeah, I wanted to share something on that. A lot of us are still stuck in kind of a passive prayer life where we say, be with me. He's already with you. Or help me. He's already helping you. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the Bible. He's already with you. He's already helping you. There's so much more to prayer. John Eldridge just wrote a book called Moving Mountains. I would recommend it to revolutionize your prayer life. But what Jim's talking about, like, praying with authority, really bringing it in the name of Jesus, the power of the cross, the resurrection, the blood, the Holy Spirit, the ascension. I mean, really praying with authority and expecting Jesus to do it. Not just you, but really expecting change. That's what prayer is about.
Great. And as you do that, you can progress up. There are some other things on the vertical that we can do that's going to help us towards wholeness, right? So we were talking about spiritual disciplines that way. But what we talked about, breaking agreements, for those of you that weren't at that, an agreement is a false conclusion that you can come to. Sometimes you didn't even realize you made it. It's like a contract you made with the enemy about an interpretation of an event that you didn't even realize it wasn't true until you begin to break it. But as you begin to grow in this area, you're going to see those agreements come up. And when you hear something like, oh, she just doesn't like you. She doesn't really want you to be part of this group. Or she would rather you didn't join us. Or she, she's thinking something bad about you. You can just tell on her face. That's the agreement, right? It's agreement. Say, no, I'm not going that way. So breaking the agreements. Forgiveness. And we talked about this a lot this weekend. Forgiveness is not just feeling this warm, fuzzy feeling that you're ready to absolutely, it changes every dynamic about a relationship with somebody. Forgiveness is saying, I require no further sacrifice. The cross is sufficient. And I release them. And sometimes it helps me. I am forgiving them, but I'll say, God, you have your way with them. Because I know you're merciful, but you're also concerned with justice. But I don't need justice. The cross is justice enough for me, right? You want to really strengthen your soul? Forgive everyone everything. Decide to learn how never to be offended by anything. That is a way to strengthen your soul. I heard it. There was a Christian singer said that. He said, I've decided this year not to be offended by anything. Healing prayer. Really the point of all of this was to help you have a vision for what that looks like. The videos that you saw where we did that with Amanda. And then part of that healing prayer is real integration. Going back and getting that younger version of yourself that was so beat up, that was abused, or whatever it was. And bringing them back. And the integration is... it's conceptual, right? But I'll just give you this. My sister is Debbie Wright. A lot of you know her. When I was starting to do a lot of this work a couple of years ago with Steve, I was talking about the younger version of myself or thinking of it. I said, what do you remember about me before everything, the chaos really ensued at home and alcoholism and all the violence and all that stuff? And she said, you were the happiest little boy that anyone had ever met, and you sang everywhere you went. And I thought, I need him back. I need that little boy. So I got to go rescue that little boy and bring him back and integrate him back into me. So, Steve.
Yeah, on wholeness, the purpose of this weekend was to help everyone be aware that nobody here is whole. Nobody here has it together. It's not just that we're not like Jesus or we're not perfect, that we've got work to do. And so roll up your sleeves and get busy. Make the investments you need to make in time, in books, in therapy, whatever you need to do to get well, to get whole. I mean, we have, sometimes in our body, we have broken bones. I remember one time I was racing my girlfriend on her horse, and I was on my horse, and her horse in mid-gallop kicked, trying to kick my horse because my horse was gaining on her horse. And the hoof of her horse at full gallop kicked me in the shin. So instead of kicking the horse, it got me. And I reined that horse to a stop, got off, rolled around on the ground like a little baby. Now, I have a dent in my shin, but I don't walk with a limp. But some of us are walking with a soul limp. We've got a wound that we haven't healed, and we've got to put the time in, the effort to heal that wound. I've got another place where I jumped on a horse, bareback, slid off the other side onto a barbed wire fence, and cut my foot open. I was showing off for my girlfriend on that one. Really cool, huh? So, but I had 7 stitches on the side of my foot, but I don't even think about it now. It's totally healed. But some of us, again, have these cuts, have these bruises, have these wounds in our soul, and we've got to put in the time and the effort. Some of us have a can of worms, and we've got the lid on that can of worms really tight. And it's time to take the lid off and get with somebody and get the worms out, dump the can upside down, and it's empty. Deal with your stuff. Don't keep running away from wholeness. Deal with it.
I'm going to read Matthew 11, 28 through 30 one more time, since you've only heard it about 3 or 4 today and a half a dozen over the weekend. But this is out of the Message Bible. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Amen.
So, we're trying to be short and sweet today. Is that okay? We appreciate you.
Yes.
We thank you for having us here. We thank you for your attention. If you attended through the weekend, if you didn't, you can buy it from the email that Jim's going to send out to the people that did go. And it'll be like $40 for the videos. But it was a life-changing weekend where we went to it 55 weeks ago, and this is our third time recreating it, and we wanted to give it to you. We wanted to give it as a gift to you. So my prayer for you is that you invest in your soul because you're worth it, okay?
Thank you. So we want to be sure and thank Larry.
Yep.
And the entire leadership team for having us in.
Yep.
So, and... I think you guys probably have a closing song, or how you do that. Or so. Thank you.
All right, while the singers are coming up,